All right, if all board members could take their seat and we could call the roll. We need to call the roll. Yes, as soon as they take their seat. Cynthia Rudolph, who's been functioning as our note taker, will actually, I'll call the roll and because Mary, our secretary, isn't present, and Cynthia will take it down. So we'll do it first with the PFW representatives. Ambrose Lane.
Here.
Rob Robinson.
Here.
Thomas Ruffin. Thomas Ruffin.
Here.
AC Bird. Wendy Schrell.
Here.
Sandra Rawline.
Here.
Michael Woodson.
Here.
Evelyn Bethune.
Present.
Don White. Lydia Brazon. Margaret Prescott. Dave Adelson. Here. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Lisa Davis. Ray LaForest, Berthold Reimers,
yeah.
LaVarn Williams, Chandra Hauptman, Sarv Randhawa,
yeah.
Mary Berg, Rip Robbins,
present.
Lori Taguma, did I ask for myself? I'm here, partly. We have 12, that's quorum. Because of extensions of time in an executive session on an issue that we've had to deal with at greater length than expected, we've had to substitute executive session for the rest of our public business meeting. So what we'll be doing now is taking public comment for a half an hour as required, and lunch will be served during that public comment. All board members need to be checked out by one. And so we will, during the lunch period, we'll be finishing that up. Since we don't have, I believe, 15 people, each member of the public would like to speak and come up. Just raise your hand and I'll recognize you. We'll spend 2 minutes each, and if there's time remaining, you can speak again. Jawari, did you want to start? Carl? Okay, Luzette? Yeah, yeah, you're first. It's all right.
Good. Is it afternoon? Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with a little bit of disappointment, and I'm actually concerned about the way we're going. For a start, I believe that we are competing very much with those people that we criticize most. For example, we keep hearing and we keep seeing a majority of your meeting being in closed session. And we as members of this network cannot get in. Now I understand that there is a time and place for this. But what I do not understand is why we as listeners cannot know the topics about which you're speaking. I'm not asking to know the details, but we need to know what it is you're spending 3 and 4 and 5 hours discussing behind closed doors. I'm also very concerned about the attempt, certainly at my level, to stifle those of us who want to speak the truth. When we have the likes of Jim Brown coming with a motion to exclude Billy Ray and me because we speak our minds and say it how it is, when we have AC Bird trying to get a marshal for the meetings to throw us off, where else are we going? I'm also very concerned about us not being seen as open and democratic. It seems like to me like there is a road towards job for the boys and job for the girls. Of course I agree that programmers should have control over what they produce. And as a matter of fact, Billy Ray's been hounded for saying this for a long, long time. And now we're at that stage where we're going to do that. It's very good. But here is a difficulty for me. What criteria would you use to decide which programmers would come on air and which will be thrown off? That's my difficulty. And I'm not sure anybody addressed that yet. The other thing is, When we have a member of this board having a job and sitting on the board, whether it be as a consultant or whatever, that gives me great cause for concern. It is not something that we would have stood by and allowed to happen and not say something about. And quite frankly, I am also looking at the notion of swelling the network with affiliates, but at the same time pretending that the five initial or original members are together. Why cannot we be affiliates as well? The same thing that Billy Ray is talking about and has been talking about for 13 years. We want autonomy, we want independence, because it's a joke to believe that we're anything else. And if I have more time, I'll say something else.
I'm going to respond, because as a point in the bylaws, we do have to announce that it's true. We dealt the first hour plus with lawsuits, legal issues before the foundation, and the remainder of the time on confidential personnel issues. Jabbar, do you want to go now? Sarv, can you take over? I realized I have to do one thing to check out.
Sure. 2 minutes each.
Go ahead.
Hi. 2 minutes. I just want to make some general comments, because I made some specific comments before. No, I'm not Mike. That's a joke. One of the things I would, as you know, being on the previous IPMB, Interim Pacifica Board, one of the things that I think any board, and this board too, really the job of the board is to set a vision and set a direction and set policies that will encompass and direct the operations of the organization. Some of the things I heard here seems like there isn't that level of assertiveness to direct very specific things get done and to hold people accountable for getting them done. And one of the things that is really lacking and has always been lacking to me is the sense that when the board gives a direction or a directive, that people can decide not to fulfill the directive and nothing happens. Nothing happens. You say, carry this show, and it doesn't get carried. Nothing happens. You say, do this, do that. Nothing happens. So part of the whole thing that I think I would hope you would begin to assess more fully and more accurately is really what is important to the board. What are those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that you really want to see done? And hold people accountable and hold people responsible, but give them the resources and whatever to get it done. But just having things just keep falling through the loops and the holes in the system and not getting done is not well for us, because you know Ursula brought up the thing about the affiliates, and then you have the stuff about the technology issues that aren't being addressed, websites, whatever. It's just this litany of stuff not getting done. And that doesn't bode well, because then people get really wants to know who's running the organization. You know, why are we spending this money, or what is the purpose of donating the monies when we keep seeing these lingering manifestations of problems, stations without equipment, transmitters keep going down, blah 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 blah. We still can't get all of our stations into private, you know, into their own buildings. So we own these properties instead of renting them out at $18,000 a month, like they do in D.C. It doesn't make sense. I mean, so at some point you need to make priorities and hold people accountable and responsible for them. And I know being on the board, some people sometimes, you know, especially in Pacifica, there's this reticence to exert power. You know, but somebody has to have the ultimate authority to say, do this and don't do that. And that's you. This is the structure of a board. So I think a lot of things, and I'm just frustrating that, you know, it's particularly in Washington and around the network, I see stuff not getting done. And I would just want to see you be more assertive in the exercise of your authority.
Thank you. Thank you. Next person. Anybody else? Go ahead, Sonny.
Okay. Serene, it's all serene.
Samachai.
Much of the time. Okay. This is with regard to some hiring practices at BAI, but also in the out of the Berkeley office, the national office. In October 2005, this is specifically with regard to BAI now, the previous IGM, Indra Hardat, told the Pacifica National Board that all the ARCs are applicant review committees, that's how hiring is done at BAI, had been convened. After an early January 2006 meeting with the stewards, she assured the PNB that the ARCs for the arts director and the news reporter would be formed within a month. We later learned that about the same time she had converted an unposted consultancy into an unannounced staff position. In May 2006, she advised the PNB without explanation that the ARCs hadn't happened. In 2006, she excused the inaction by claiming that fundraising was getting in the way. The current executive director would later endorse her violation of the contract. In December 2006, after a meeting with USOC stewards and the station's lawyer, the present IGM, Robert Adams, promised to convene the ARCs for arts director, news reporter, and receptionist. In January of 07, we met with him again. In February, we were told March. In March, we were told soon. When weeks later the website job became available, it was quietly filled with someone who continues to be paid in two other positions that also were not noticed, posted, or competitively filled. When asked by the stewards of the unpaid staff to meet about these illegal hires, the IGM said his schedule didn't allow it, but he'd be getting right on with the process. Some of us are skeptical. Apparently, the feeling that it's okay to make private hires, I'd call them secret hires, but sooner or later someone learns about it, so they're private hires, has been well communicated by the foundation's leader. I want to say that an organization that does not value its workers, does not prioritize equal opportunity, does not honor its agreements, does not practice what it preaches, will not flourish. So yesterday, I think I heard decision makers here inferring that affirmative action wasn't really worth applying to short-term hires, and I wondered if we were moving backward in time. If I can just finish this up. Where are the hiring reports for the National Technical Director? Has the job for the Pacifica website assistant been filled? Has the job for the affiliates assistant been filled? Where were those openings posted? Which body reviewed the resumes and conducted interviews? Where are the hiring reports? We need management that is thoughtful and deliberately inclusive. We need a better governance process. We need bylaws revisions. But in the meantime, we need management that does not spend more time trashing the organization than learning how to work within it. We need managers who work with their boards and staff, not against them.
Thank you. Next, Billy Ray.
Good afternoon. You know, I've been waiting a long time to speak with John Krigler. You know, he was invited to our all-station meeting at least twice, and he hasn't showed up. I missed what he had to say yesterday, but I will get a chance to go back and look at and hear it on the internet. But anyway, I found out by going through some old, I guess you say newsletters or papers that was passed out by the station some years ago, that John Krigler has always been the attorney, the FCC attorney for Pacifica. He was even the FCC attorney when the radio telephone license was taken away from individuals that gave them pretty much the same rights, let's say, that Amy Goodman has with Pacifica right now, control over content in her producing and program itself. I'm really concerned because I think John Krigler need to be fired. You know, because in 1987, when that rule was passed, he did not forewarn this organization that we should have mounted some kind of defense. Because when FCC licensed operators had control over content and programming, that left plausible deniability for the organization and any legal action that the FCC may have took, and then the organization itself could have been about doing the business a business. You have an archive right now that is the greatest archive on the planet Earth. And you probably can't play 50% of the things that's in the archives today because of that. And, you know, this FCC change and the atmosphere of America today. I appreciate the fact that the organization is trying to do something to bring other producers and programmers up to speed and to have at least some power that Amy Goodman has today and what she does for Pacifica. And I'm still would like to see Pacifica dissolved and reorganized as an affiliate so that you would still have the power of business. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Nia Bediako, and I'm a very proud listener of WBAI. And I am not the only one. I'm sure that there are many, many more listeners out there. I know that because I do the tabling for the outreach at WBAI. And I know someone commented to me yesterday, well, the Arbitron doesn't say that. Being from New York, I remembered, I forgot what year it was, in the 80s, when the Nielsen ratings said that Latinos weren't listening. Latinos challenged that, and they won. I have never gotten a Nielsen nor an Arbitron questionnaire to ask me, do I listen? And I've been a 20-year listener of WBAI. There are listeners listening, and not because we're not getting the $900,000 or the $950,000. That doesn't mean people aren't listening. When I go to the peer parties that we have, there are a couple of hundred people there. We have, recently, there was an event at Ethical Culture. There were 400 listeners. Last year, I went to the FCC conference in New York, and that room holds about 300 or so people. Serene could correct me with that. And they heard about that from BAI. And the reason I know that, because I asked them when I got to the podium, well, how did you hear about this conference? And they said from WBAI, because people aren't pledging as they used to. First of all, they can't afford to pledge. After 9/11, over 100,000 jobs in Manhattan alone, one of the five boroughs in New York, was lost, totaling $11 billion in earnings. That doesn't mean because people can't afford to pledge like they used to that they aren't listening. It is absolutely not true, because like I said, I, William Marquez, we are basically MOF, and we go out, and they tell us that they're listening. In the tally room, people call up, we take their pledges, and they do listen. So I just want to just set that record straight. Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm William Hairwagon. I'm also from BAI. A couple little stories. Some years back, I went for a consulting job with an organization that was statistically supposed to have all kinds of large numbers of minority employees, and I was going for a consulting job. I went to their executive offices on Madison Avenue for some highfalutin job or consulting, and when I got there, in this executive area, 49 of the 50 people there looked just like me. And I said, that doesn't sound like the statistics I see. So sometimes statistics aren't what they seem to be. Then I just wanted to try to weave in another story. Walter Mosley's first E.Z. Rollins novel it was a movie, made into a movie too, and you could see the E.Z. Rollins detective character at the end repeats something that he learned from one of the less savory characters in the tale, who said that, well, when you get up in the morning, you're in trouble. But what matters is how high up in that trouble you are. So some of the people here are pretty high up, so we're getting there, and it matters. We're trying. excuse me. Then I wanted to relate this being high up in the trouble and the problem with statistics, like, I think Mr. Guma was asked yesterday a question. I don't even remember exactly what the topic was, but it might have been about where were the jobs posted or something. And he switched the story to statistics about how many X out of 23 or 24 people were minorities in his staff. And then I still say, depends how high up you are in that trouble to be making waves. And I think we have to do a lot to always keep that in mind. We need diversity. We need whatever phrase you want to use for it. And then I'd just like to add something that was said yesterday, too, about the someone suggested we need a New Pacifica T-shirt, which was going to have Mount Rushmore on it. If, in case some of you didn't get it, all the people on Mount Rushmore look like me.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to speak? Go ahead, Jabari.
I just want to hi, I'm Jabari Jusakia. I just wanted to reiterate what I point at made Friday, I guess, but I just want to make it more succinct. I think Pacifica really needs to consider looking at a totally different model or an adjunct to the model of fundraising through donations, through pledge drives. Seriously need to consider setting up a for-profit entity or an entity that would generate regular revenue that would lessen the burden of having to overextend their listener base as their primary source of funding. Listener fatigue is a real thing, and most people who are progressive poor don't have money to give over and over again four times a year. And I think that we lose, you know, people get tired. But beyond that, Pacifica has so many resources that it could amortize into regular stuff, such as there could be in D.C. they had the D.C. Radio Co-op. Reem was bringing people in, and we were teaching people how to do radio, do stuff. We could set up courses where people can pay to learn radio. We could set up liaisons with schools where we could, for interns, we could, you know, we could have like a course and do some imaginative things actually doing what we do as a network. That, you know, we don't have to just sell C-shirts or something outside of our domain of activity. No, amortize our domain of activity. And other people are doing it in other areas. I would just want to say again, think outside the box and bring in people who have different ideas and at least be willing to listen to them. You know, don't immediately just shut off people because there are lots of different ways to do things, and I think we can do a whole lot better to bring some of these new ideas into the mix. And I, you know, this whole thing with the money drives everything. You know, we don't it's that 800-pound gorilla. We don't want to be capitalist and everything, but in a capitalist society, if you don't have the money, you don't play the game. So I think we can do a better job, a more efficient job, and take less of the strain off the on-air programming and put it on other areas that are ongoing that will create a certain base of regular revenue for the network to use.
Thank you. How much time we have, Dave?
Barry, do you have a time for when we can? Cynthia, do you know when we convene? I think we have about 1:43, and we spent about 4 or 5 minutes on that, so 1:48. So we have time.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm very glad we have time. My name is Lizette King. Somebody just gave me a copy of the executive director's report, and it actually would make my point when I say, very impressive. The only thing I would have liked to see attached to it is the financial report. But here at this station, I've been asking for something like this for the last 3 or 4 years for our station. And when a station like ours in this network can't get to know what's happening at it, then we need to find out why. I know why, but our board is determined in supporting and keeping incompetence at the worst at this station. So we can never ever get something like this. And I urge the executive director to help us, if it's only the minority on WPFW LSB, to get something from our general manager that would at least dovetail into this. Because this on its own cannot suffice. We need to see a comprehensive report from our station and each station. And I'm not sure why that is happening. The other thing, I mean, somebody talked about training. Those people who've been at WPFW for the last 20 years or so will tell you that the most of the programmers on the air were trained. You could not go on air without having training from within. And you don't have to go outside to get training. The people who can train programmers at WPFW, I can't speak for anybody else, they're right here. But the structure isn't there. The will isn't there. All we're getting is some exchange for incompetence to keep some nonsense programs on the air. People just go open their mouth and the sound come out. And as for your confidentiality, I will sign any confidentiality commitment. But guess what? It will not stop me from exposing anything that I see is corrupt. And if I will be the first witness for any victim of this network's corruption, I will be in court with them. Enough is enough. We have to not only talk the talk, but we have to walk the walk. The last thing, though, I would urge the executive director to help me, if nobody else, to get a comprehensive report and a business plan for our station. I've been at it for 3-4 years, and for as long as I have voice, I will be asking for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
Trying to make it quick. This is Nia again, proudly from New York. The sentiment I'm hearing here, I know Sheree mentioned respect should be a theme song for Pacifica, and I think it's so true. I have to give Rob, as I can't see that, but there's Rob over there. Yeah. He said unpaid staff, and it sounds to me, I hear it here and I hear it in New York, that the majority of people who program on these stations, I guess they're unpaid staff. If they don't like to be called volunteers, that is just such a small thing that you can do in terms of respecting somebody. It's about self-determination. Like, for example, myself, I've been black a long time, and I like to be called a black woman. I don't like to be called an African this or an African that. I want to be called a black woman. So the people want to be called unpaid staff, call them unpaid staff. They don't want to be volunteers. I'm a volunteer. I don't work at this station, so I don't want to be further confused when I hear volunteers. I can't tell if they're talking about Bob or they're talking about Serena or not Bertha's like me. I want to know I'm a volunteer and the people are unpaid staff. I mean, it's a mutual respect. I just don't see what the problem is. The other thing is in terms of respect. Some people are feeling from what I'm hearing, I won't call any names, that certain jobs are given to certain people. For example, it mentioned about the stream. This is nothing personal about who's here streaming right now. If you go to 5 stations throughout the year, just get somebody locally from that particular station who's able to stream, and it will be no problem. But you don't bring somebody from another state to do the streaming when there are people right in that state who are capable and have streamed to stream there, and that will, well, I won't say you won't have any problems. You won't have as many problems. Okay? Thank you.
This is William again. I heard something yesterday that, not being on any national committees or anything, the first time I'd heard about it, something called RFP, which was passed, and somebody said that's request for proposal. So I'm confused what it's all about. I just posed the question. I don't know if you're supposed to answer, but I just posed the question for listeners to think about, other people to think about. In this request for proposals, who's making requests of whom for what? Proposals. And then the second question is, if I can read my own handwriting, what are the specific expenses and revenues associated with this? And then thirdly, if there's a job associated with it, the perennial question that we have at BAI is, where is it going to be posted? Thank you.
I think it's our last speaker, Billy Ray. Go ahead, Billy. Oh, sorry.
I just want to say that I hope y'all have a nice, safe trip home.
Thank you.
And it was a peaceful meeting, I thought, from the last time. And I hope it remained peaceful. Peace and love.
It doesn't even count. Well, I mean, it counts. You should listen, but okay. I don't know what the process is for sharing information about decisions of the national board. I don't know how it's handled at every station, but local board members need to know what's happening on the national board. I'm in New York. I continually speak to people in other parts of the country who are board members or staff who are required to do what you guys say they have to do, and they hear about it from me in New York. They don't hear about it from their PNB members. They don't hear about it from their local boards. So I don't know which committee this would need to go to, but as overtaxed as we all are, there needs to be some reporting from the PNB to its local boards and to its staff and listeners in a way that allows everyone to participate and everyone to be informed. And not just on air, somebody's got to commit something to writing, whether the minutes go from this board secretary to local board secretaries to the GMs to be distributed in hard copy at the station, because not everybody lives on the Internet. You know, that really has to be done. People need to know what's going on. We need to have financial reports that make sense. We need consistent expense and income categories, because they're not the same throughout the network. And I know folks have been trying to work on that. And I know there have been some proposals that seem to be stuck in somebody's office for some reason. And I understand CFO has done some work on some of that stuff, and it just can't get moving. So I don't know where the holdup is, but y'all need to let it go. When additional monies become available, finance staff and management need to come to their boards with that, and then decisions need to be made about how it's spent. Just because the money wasn't in the budget originally does not mean that you then get to decide individually where to put it and then come tell your board how you spent it. Okay, that's not how that's supposed to work. The board approval process may happen formally once a year, but there's supposed to be additional reporting. It's supposed to be an exchange of information. So we need to watch that. And I was so pleased to hear that people who disagree with me on almost everything are saying that we should have regular communications among people who do the same work throughout the network. That was a memo that I sent to the IPNB in 2003. Okay? So thank you for catching up.
Thank you very much.
That concludes our time for public comment. Thank you very much.